Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for joining us here on AFR. Fred Jackson in studio with me, and Steve Jordahl, our newsman, joins us now.
Good morning.
How you doing, Steve?
It's a good day here in Mississippi.
We're going to ask Abraham Hamilton III, who comes on this afternoon at 5:05 Central Time here on American Family Radio with the Hamilton Corner. We spent the last 30 minutes or so doing an expose or a lesson on what Marxism is. You hear that word a lot, but most people don't understand what that term means or where that comes from or what the Marxists are attempting to do to change America fundamentally. And so I asked Abe, well, give me a book, and Abe listed two or three that people can read to help explain this more fully. And then, so you gave some Thomas Sowell, but then you said off the air, you said there's another book I want to recommend.
Yeah, because right before the break, Chris asked a question about whether or not Marxists intentionally seek to exploit America's history concerning skin color as a means to advance the Marxist agenda. And my answer to him was that is a more recent iteration of Marxist ideology and philosophical thought. But I also wanted to recommend a book by a man by the name of Manning Johnson. He was writing in the early 1930s because he became a committed Marxist and ascended in the upper echelons of the American communist movement. He did. And as he got to, you know, look behind the proverbial back door, he realized, oh, man, these people have no interest whatsoever in the conditions of Black Americans and the desires and the goals and wishes of Black. They seek only to use our plight in an effort to advance Marxism. And so he wrote a book titled, and I have it literally up right here, it's called Color, Communism, and Common Sense, which was published in the 1930s. You can actually find it online for free right now, where he goes through great detail in exposing the hows and the whys, the specific meetings he went to, and the things that helped, that caused him to be so turned off by Marxism that he not only repudiated Marxism and communism in America, but he even testified before Congress to say, hey, you guys don't realize this, but this is what's going on, giving examples how it happened. So the book is titled Color, Communism, and Common Sense.
Okay.
Wow.
Thank you, Brother Abe.
Thank you.
All right, join Abe this afternoon on the Hamilton Corner at 5:05 Central. Tim with Fred and Steve. Steve, what's leading the news this hour?
I have an example of Vice President Joe Biden leading from behind. He has announced today that he and his wife, Jill, are going to visit Kenosha on Thursday. Where did he get that idea? Well,
I'm kind of surprised at that.
You are?
Well, yeah, why is he going?
Well, he's got to show that he cares. I mean, he's been one-upped by President Trump, who beat him to Kenosha.
Yeah, but everybody sees this as Johnny come lately. I don't know, whatever, maybe.
Yeah, I can just tell you that he's planning on going there. What's going to be interesting is, you know, Governor Tony Evers said to President Trump, don't come, come. It's divisive.
Right.
You're politicizing this. It's going to be interesting if he says the same thing to Joe Biden or if he welcomes Joe Biden. Now, one of the things that Joe Biden and his wife, I think, plan to do here is visit the family of the Black man who was killed there.
He wasn't killed.
I'm sorry. Thank you. For Jacob Blake, who was paralyzed in the shooting. They're going to visit the family, and President Trump offered to meet with them, and the family kind of declined. So
the family declined, but he met with the pastor.
He did meet with the pastor.
Who did President Trump?
Yes.
The pastor of the mom?
The pastor of the mom.
Of Jacob Blake's mom?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. And the family would have met with him, except they wanted to bring their lawyers along. And President Trump said, no, I don't think I want to meet with you and your lawyers. We just want to give you condolences personally. So,
condolences?
Biden's going to Kenosha.
Are condolences only for dead people? I don't know.
Well, yeah, maybe.
I'm just trying to help you out, Steve.
Thank you. No, well,
with In your verbiage there. You know, but we know what you're saying. Yes. He wanted to express sympathies for what happened.
Right.
And I think it might be also interesting to see who he doesn't meet with.
Who, Biden?
Biden. I don't think he'll meet with police officials.
Why not?
Well, because he sees it from the other side. He doesn't want to show a conflict with what he's been saying out there, that all the rioting is because of police brutality. So I don't think that Joe Biden will meet with the police, which is what the president did yesterday. I don't think you'll see that.
Yeah.
And he won't meet with the businesses that were destroyed.
Yeah. Well, all right. You're listening to today, but let it be known that the president tried to meet with all parties.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
He made an attempt to, and he did meet with several, as you mentioned, the pastor of Jacob Blake's mom.
Yes.
And he met with the police, and he met with business owners.
Yes.
And all right. You're listening to today's issues on the American Family Radio Network. You know, with a lot of these things, I don't know why we can't discuss what happens in a nuanced way without being told we're one thing or another. Maybe I'm at fault of doing that too sometimes. But for example, with this Jacob Blake shooting in Wisconsin, in Kenosha, which started all this. Mm-hmm. If you want to be critical of the police officer in this case, I'm willing to listen to that, but the left never wants to discuss the other part of it.
No.
That's what they only want to say. Cops hate blacks. End of story. I don't want a discussion mm-hmm. on this. You see what I'm saying? I don't want to talk about the facts of the matter. And that just is so frustrating.
But it's connected to what Abe just told us.
I know.
Us. Yeah.
I know it is, but. But I see a lot of Americans, you know, going, well, you know, they just see a video, a 5-second clip of a video, and they want to make a judgment about police officers or that particular police incident. So if you want to talk about, okay, I don't like the fact that the officer shot Blake 7 times. Okay. Well, would you like to discuss what led up to this moment?
Mm.
No, I don't want to hear that.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, if you don't want to hear that, then your mind's already made up, you're prejudiced,
mm-hmm.
and you don't want to have. I'm glad you're not on a jury.
Yes,
huh?
Yes.
No, but that's the way a lot of these folks are. Here, you had a guy who was at this. There was a 911. I don't want to review the whole thing again, but you have to remember there was a 911 call placed
mm-hmm.
by. Was it the mother? You guys?
A mother of at least some of the children.
Okay. This Jacob Blake was not supposed to be at that property.
Correct.
And so that's the reason that they call the cops. Hey, he's not supposed to be here. I don't know if it was a temporary restraining order or it was a court order or something, but he had an incident with this woman before.
Yes.
And she claims that he had raped her in ways I'm not going to describe here
mm-hmm.
on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a reason why the cops were called.
Yeah, they just weren't driving around one night.
And the guy resisted arrest. He had a warrant out.
Yes.
He had a warrant out for his arrest for this sexual
mm-hmm.
Crime. So the cops, when you have a warrant out, and he had a rap sheet, a long rap sheet, and then there was another video that suggests he was the cops said he had one of them in a yes. headlock.
And he was struggling with them with a knife.
And he had a knife, and he had 3 small children in the back of his car. I don't know how small. So you had that whole incident going on, so you got a guy disobeying in the cops. He's just completely disobeying the cops. So he walks around to his car. The cops had their guns drawn. Well, they had just been in a fight with a guy who'd got into it with the cops before.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not there to have a Oprah moment. They're there to arrest the guy and to keep him from harming people. And when the court says you have to, you have a warrant out for your arrest means when the cops find you, they're going to put handcuffs on you.
Yeah.
He's fighting all this. And then he reaches in his car, right, as he walks away from the cops, disobeying their commands time and time again, and he gets shot. So then you might say, well, why did they shoot him so many times? Well, I don't know. Why don't we wait until the court case happens or the investigation is done, and then we might have a better idea of why the police officer did that. Maybe he overreacted. Maybe he should have shot three times. But let me tell you something. In a matter of 5 seconds, and your heart's racing, and you feel like the guy may be reaching down there to get a gun to shoot you dead? How much time, this 5 or 7 seconds, do you have to calculate in your mind, well, maybe I should go for the thigh. I really don't. Maybe I can plead with this fella one more time. You see what I'm saying? So everybody wants to second guess the police officer when we don't even know, having had an investigation done. They haven't even had a chance to interview the fella yet. He didn't ask for this. He was just doing his rounds. He gets 911 call from a black lady saying, come save us from this black guy. So you're telling me that's racial? You know, but this is what they want to do. This is what Black Lives Matter is. They want to say, no, it was a white cop killing a black guy because he was hunting him down. That's the narrative we're supposed to believe. So again, I don't know why. I'm willing to listen to people say, well, it was an overreaction on the officer. Okay, well, let's wait and see. Let's wait until all the facts come out. But if you're going to say, no, this was a white cop shooting a black guy and it was racial, then that's a different world. We can't even have a rational discussion on this matter, which leads me to believe what Abe was talking about earlier, that these incidents, a lot of them, are being used to exploit the anger of the black community and others, whites too, to be mad at the cops because they believe, well, cops are out to get black people. That must be going on all across America when the facts do not bear this out.
That's right.
Whatsoever. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. I'm going to have some oxygen, Brent, and let Fred and Steve take the rest of the show here. Go ahead, Steve. What do you got?
Well, I wish I had good news, but I want to talk about a little bit of the unintended or at least the unseen consequences of our pandemic here. It's being reported from Legal Templates, a company that provides legal documents, that the divorce rate in the United States has skyrocketed during the coronavirus pandemic. Divorces are up 34% higher from March through June compared to 2019 because couples are now in the same house and facing each other without the ability to get away for each other for a bit, I guess.
You guess.
Well, they write the combination of stress, unemployment, financial strain, death of loved ones.
I think that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the stress. So they're both unemployed.
Right.
They can't get out and go to a restaurant, sit down, have a nice meal. Yeah. Can't do that. There's no Little League baseball for the kids.
Yeah.
There's nothing in order to relieve.
Idle time's the devil's playground, as they say.
It sure is.
And so it causes more tension and stress. Well, the number one cause of divorce, I think, is financial stress.
Yes.
Even over adultery. And that's what's been on people's, minds for the last few months. So I could see how this would.
This hit newlyweds harder than those that have been married longer. 20% of the couples who sought divorce were only married within the past 5 months or less.
What?
20% of the couples who sought divorce in the last couple of months were married within the past five months or less.
That's about the honeymoon being over.
Right?
Never get started. Get off the cruise ship. We're ready for a divorce. God, that's not funny. I'm not laughing at divorce. But I mean,
no.
Fred made me laugh. The way you said that.
Sorry.
All right, Steve.
Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar, the congresswomen from Michigan and Minnesota, respectively, are kind of angry at MSNBC's Joy Reid. You see, Joy Reid was trying to make a point about President Trump and how he's radicalizing young people. I'm going to play you the cut. This is what they want her to apologize for. I want to tell you that I had to take this cut from two different sources to put it all together, so you're going to hear a very much different audio quality at the very end, just to see if you can make it through. They're both clear. It's just, you'll notice it. So this is cut nine.
When leaders, let's say in the Muslim world, talk a lot of violent talk and encourage their supporters to be willing to commit violence, including on their own bodies, in order to win against whoever they decide is the enemy. We in the U.S. media describe that as they are radicalizing those people, particularly when they're radicalizing young people. That's how we talk about the way Muslims act.
When you see what Donald Trump is doing, is that any different from what we describe as radicalizing people?
Well, that just wasn't going to cut it with Omar and...
Well, wait a minute. Khalid. They're both far left. Is that far left versus far left?
It's Muslim versus, yes, it's far left versus farther left, maybe?
Oh, I like a good far left versus far left fight.
Yeah.
What happened next?
Well, I don't know if Joy Reid has apologized or not, but they're asking her to. You can't talk about Muslims radicalizing people. They don't do that. You're not.
I knew
not
what she was saying. I didn't agree with her premise.
No.
Joy Reid, but I know what she's saying. She's saying President Trump's people are like radicalized Muslims who bomb things. That's what she's saying.
That's what she's trying to make, but she used the wrong example, according to Tlaib and Omar.
She should have known better.
Yeah.
She should have used right-wing militias or something like that.
You can't remind people that the
crazy Christians. If
she'd
have said Donald Trump's people are like crazy Christians, you know,
it would be just fine.
That would have been acceptable.
Just fine. Thank you very much.
Okay. Well, we'll see what happens there.
Yeah.
My guess is Joy Reid will apologize. I think that.
Oh, I think she will.
That'll happen today.
I think she will.
All right, what do you got?
Tell me why you think this is. A new poll from the University of New Hampshire found that people who regularly watch Fox News or listen to conservative talk radio were significantly less likely to wear face masks than the population at large. This is New Hampshire residents they surveyed. Those who never watch Fox News, 86% wear a face mask every time they're in public unless they're both outdoors and socially distanced. Among those who occasionally watch Fox, the number is 74%, and among those who watch Fox frequently, it's only 50%. And the numbers were even more drastic among those who listen to conservative talk radio. Why?
I don't know, because the Fox hosts tell people to wear a mask.
Yeah, but there are people with opinions, different opinions, allowed on Fox News. If you watch the other networks, CNN, ABC, CBS... I mean, it's nigh on to suggesting people walk in front of a bus to say there's an opinion out there that maybe masks aren't necessary. I mean, that's the problem. Fox, and I think that's what the survey is getting to, Fox will have people on the air who take issue with Dr. Fauci and say, you know, what you're saying, you didn't say that.
With mask mandates.
Or with mask mandates.
Right.
By the way, a little off. Joe Biden has a new ad out this morning, and I saw this on Fox, by the way. A new ad where.
Were you wearing a mask when you saw it?
No, I was not.
Okay, go ahead.
But
he listens to Fox News a lot.
Yeah, yes. In that ad by Joe Biden, he took time to say, I will advocate for a nationwide mask mandate in the ad.
Yikes.
You can't do that. I don't think.
Even if you could, why would you advertise that?
That's part of his paid political ad.
Wow.
That's just another Trump derangement syndrome view.
There seems to be a difference in conservative versus liberal. Conservatives seeing the mask assault on freedom.
The reason for that is, Steve, and I'm just guessing here, this is my opinion. You ask a question.
Sure.
Is because the people who watch Fox News, for the most part, believe in personal responsibility, personal liberty, freedom. And so they view these mask mandates, endless mask mandates, and Joe Biden saying, I'm going to mandate mask wearing nationally, as a way to control people.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I agree.
And it leads to more control. I can tell you, because I've talked to a lot of these folks, I hadn't necessarily been in that camp. I don't wear a mask unless I absolutely have to. Mm-hmm. And because I've had multiple, well, I don't want to get the particles that emanate mm-hmm. from you that mm-hmm. give people the virus mm-hmm. or that come in mm-hmm. are smaller than the mask.
Yes.
I've had that explained to me several times, but I digress. People will say, well, it keeps you, if you sneeze on you or cough on you, it keeps you from getting the, okay, all right, that's fine. But I'm just saying that most people who believe in social distancing, yes, social distancing. Somebody's sick, stay away from them, even mm-hmm. if you don't know they're sick. Mm-hmm. Washing your hands. But the mask thing is, for a lot of people, is going a little too far because it doesn't, they view that as, okay, what next is forced vaccines.
Yes.
Huh? Mm-hmm. And when you listen to these folks, it makes a lot of sense. What they're saying is that this is one thing's going to lead to another, mm-hmm. and they're going to be totally controlling the government's going to be totally controlling our lives, which is anti-American. Well, so that is a 3-minute answer to Steve's question.
I think it's a good one.
Go ahead.
No, that's true. And I mean,
is that the way you believe?
Oh, yeah. To that point, I mean, if you go into forced vaccination and you refuse, your employer says you can't work here anymore. You're out of
a job. Yes, well,
you're out of a job.
People who reject mask mandates for everybody, and by the way, these are going on and on and on and on, right? They will tell you just what you said. Next up, forced vaccines, mm-hmm. or you lose your job, or yep. you can't work here, or you can't come dine here, mm-hmm. or you can't travel to this city. Yep. That's what they're going to say.
And it's the tracking thing, too. That's scary to me, is that we want to keep a record. When you go to the restaurant, we're going to keep a record of everybody who comes in the door.
Right.
And so if somebody comes down with COVID, we want information on file of all the customers, where they live, phone number, the whole thing. Tracking people.
Yeah. Yeah. Wasn't it, was it California? One of the states was saying that they were going to ask churches to keep track of who came.
Yes, that's correct.
By the way, Steve, do you know and if you don't know the facts enough, we can discuss it another day because I don't want to give out, quote, misinformation. The CDC report the other day that Twitter took down from President Trump's account.
Right. What the president tweeted out was that 90% of COVID deaths that are listed as COVID deaths were COVID plus something or exacerbated by. Only, I believe, it was 10% or 20% that were COVID alone, that people died from COVID alone. And some people are pointing out that it doesn't mean that COVID wasn't involved in the rest of the deaths, but Twitter did take down the post from the president who was citing a CDC press release.
Do you know about this? Do you know about this, Fred?
Yeah, I think the numbers are actually 94.6.
94.6, there it is.
Yeah, 94% of the people who have died had complicating issues in their body, other things, diabetes or whatever the case may be. Only 6% died purely of COVID.
But what would be the point for the president, for example, to tweet that, do you think?
Well, because I think the president over time has come to the point where when you look at the percentages of people who have died next to the whole population, it is like 0.00 something. And so the point being, we've gone too far with shutting down the whole country.
He's saying that only a small, tiny percentage of Americans have died strictly because of COVID.
Purely of COVID.
And the other have died with other serious medical problems.
Yes.
It doesn't diminish their deaths any.
No.
But that may say that healthy people should get back out there.
Yes.
Because you're not at risk. That's what he's saying, right?
Correct.
All right. Thanks, Steve.
My pleasure.
Thanks, Fred.
All righty.
Have a great day, everybody.
Mm-hmm.